I'm going to be talking about something tonight that the Lord laid on my heart. I've been heavy in my heart about this issue. There are so many people that really do not understand true salvation. There are so many people that they think if they've got Jesus in their head, they're okay. But you can have Jesus in your head and still be dead. Are you listening to me? And so I'm going to preach tonight on what does it mean to believe in Jesus. Now, many times people will say, just believe in Jesus. But the Bible's very clear that if you believe there is one God, you do well. But the devil also believes and trembles. We're going to be looking at John chapter 3, verse 15 through 18. And I want to share some things with you tonight to kind of clear up what it means to believe in Jesus. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned now already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? You may be seated. The message tonight will be very pointed. It's going to be very pointing. I'm going to point out some things tonight. Before I get done, you'll say by the time the points are over, you're going to think, oh my. Just a few more points to go, you'll say. Like the fat guy crawling under the barbed wire fence, just a few more points to go. I believe in a radical, miraculous conversion. I believe that when someone truly gets saved, they are completely changed. I believe with all my heart that there are people by the millions that think they're okay because they believe in Jesus. And I want to clear up the cloudy thinking on that, because you can believe that Jesus is awesome and incredible. You can believe all the do's and don'ts. You can believe everything he did and still split hell wide open. And who wants to split hell open? I don't. I'd like for it to stay closed in the name of Jesus. I have some simple points tonight I want to point out. The first thing I want to say is you must believe there is one God. You must believe there is one God. James chapter 2, I quoted it, verse 19, thou believest there's one God, you do well. But the devils believe and they tremble. There's not two gods, there's not three gods, there's not 100 gods. There's one God. One God that we are going to stand before on Judgment Day. One God that created the heavens and the earth. One God that every human being will answer to. For this one God has created everything. The Bible says in verse 15 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And you'll see the phrase several times, should not perish. So if it says they should not perish, it means they could perish. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. There it is, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus came so that we should not perish. This one God so loved the world that he came, sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jehovah has a son. His name is Jesus Christ. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Jesus Christ came to rescue us so that we should not perish. There's one God. We'll answer to him. We need him. We need deliverance by his power. And God so loved you and I that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to planet Earth to break the shackles and the power of death, hell, and the grave. We serve a risen Savior. He was not defeated on the cross. He was victorious on the cross. He deliberately laid down his life for you and I. Jesus did. He was not a victim, but a victorious Savior. When it came time for him to be taken down from the cross, he yielded his life back to his Father. And he yielded up the ghost. And he bowed his head as if you were to bow in a great performance. Jesus Christ bowed his head to say, "There. It's finished." I am grateful for the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And if you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you first must understand that there is one God, and that one God came personified in Jesus Christ. Jay, preacher, are you a oneness? Preacher, are you an apostolic? Preacher, are you a Pentecost? Preacher, are you a Baptist? No, I'm a Jesus-believing preacher. Don't put a label on me. The only things I want a label on is the expiration date on a gallon of milk. But there's nothing I hate worse than turn a gallon of milk up. Don't let my wife know this, but just drink it straight from the jug, okay? Hey, come on. Before I was saved, I drank it straight from the jug. Not the milk, something else. And it's a horrible feeling when there's chunks come out of that gallon of milk. This God that created everything, this God that created Adam and Eve, this one true and living God said, "Let us make man after our own likeness, after our own image." And God took dust. I believe he took dust from Bethlehem where Jesus would be born, the last Adam. You say, I don't have time to explain that, but you need to understand if you read the account of Adam in Genesis, God placed him there. He wasn't created there, he was placed there. I believe God formed him from the dust of Bethlehem and placed him in the garden. But when he formed man from the dust of the ground, he was making man in the image of Jesus Christ. He was going to, Jesus Christ, God was saying, one day I'll walk in this man. One day I'll have two hands and I'll lay them on the sick and they'll recover. One day I'll have eyes darting back and forth on the shores of Galilee and Jerusalem, the streets of Jerusalem, the streets of Jericho, looking for those that need a miracle. One day I'll come to earth as the last Adam to conquer and destroy all the things that the first Adam sucked humanity into. When God created Adam in his own image, he was actually creating Jesus, the last Adam, in his own image. When you look at that and you think about it, you need to understand, you must believe that God gave his son. To believe on Jesus, you must believe that there's one God, and you must believe that God gave his son. He did not give his son to make us wealthy. He did not give us his son to make us prosperous. God did not give his son in order for us to excel in this world. God gave us his son to die on the cross of Calvary, to redeem us from our sin. God gave his son to die. John 3:16 is a beautiful verse, but it says he gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ was given as a sacrifice. The blood was shed. Got some good news. The blood will never be unshed. It's been shed once and for all for the sins of all mankind. Thank God I'm a believer. I believe in the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. But it's not enough to just believe that Jesus lived and died. We must believe in our heart that God gave his son. I may well agree that we must believe in our heart that God gave his son, not our head. Trust me, your head will get everything messed up. My head does too. Sometimes my head, never mind. We ain't gonna go there. Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Notice he said, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, there it is, heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Being saved is a vocal expression. It is a visual expression. It is a miraculous expression. It is a new birth. We will be new creatures in Christ. Paul said that we would be new creatures in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And that doesn't mean that you're just going to be rebuilt. It means you're going to be something that never existed before. A new creature simply means that there's never been one prior to this creature. Jesus comes, sheds his blood, dies on that cross, is put in a tomb, raised again from the dead. And through our faith in our heart, and we call upon the name of Jesus Christ, God creates a creature that's never existed before. Better than the angels. Better than the first Adam. Because we're made out of the last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15. We've never existed before, this creature, because it took the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to make this creature. We are unique and one of a kind, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, changed by the power of God, and we must believe that God had a son. He gave that son for our sins. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Acts chapter 16, verse 30 through 33. The jailer brings Paul and Silas out after an earthquake, after a great display of praise and worship to God. An earthquake came. Paul and Silas are freed from the prison. The doors are open, and the jailer brings them out and says to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The response was, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not say, join the church, pay your tithe, dress good, look good, smell good, you can go to heaven. I met some folks that don't smell good, but I think they're going to go to heaven. But there'll be a radical change before they get to the throne. Hello? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all them in his house, the jailer's house. Meaning salvation comes through the word. You cannot believe in Jesus Christ with your heart until you hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot believe in Jesus Christ just because it's the end thing to do. You must believe in Jesus Christ because of the foundation and the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And when Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house, and they preached the word to them. All of them that were in their house. I love this phrase, and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And spake unto him the word of the Lord, and preach to all of them in his house. And he took, this is the jailer takes Paul and Silas the same hour of the night, and washes the stripes, the bloody marks of the whip. He washes the stripes of Paul and Silas. That's called repentance. And he was baptized, he and his house, straightway. I'm not going to preach long tonight, but long enough to explain to you that it takes a revelation from God to really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God must convict you. The Father must draw you. There must be repentance. You must feel contrition in your heart. You must hear God's call. God draws you. And he draws you to his Son, because his Son is the only one that can save us. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save us. He's it. The Bible says in the 10th chapter of St. John that the Father gives us to the Son, Jesus. The Father gives us to his Son, Jesus. Why does the Father give us to his Son, Jesus? Because his Son, Jesus, is the only one that paid the price for sin. His Son, Jesus, is the only one that can redeem us from our transgression. His Son, Jesus, is the only one who rose again from the dead. His Son, Jesus, is the only one that can save and bring redemption to mankind. The Father convicts, the Father draws him to his Son, and his Son says, okay, I'll clean him up, I'll preserve him, I'll protect him, I'll save him, I'll seal him in my power, I'll watch over him, I'll take care of him, and I'll take him back one day to the Father. See, when the Father draws us to Jesus, he gives us to Jesus so Jesus can clean us up, so that Jesus can sanctify us and cleanse us and purify us and make us ready to go home to the Father. Jesus Christ rose again from the grave so that he can take us beyond the grave into the presence of his Father. For Jesus Christ is the Son of Almighty God. And in order to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we must, according to Matthew 16 and so on, 16, so on, we must have a revelation that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the living Son of God. And upon this rock I'll build my church, Jesus Christ said in the 16th chapter of Matthew, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus stands there in his glorified, resurrected body, his eternal power, his everlasting presence, and he holds from his fingertips the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Jesus Christ says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And we must have a revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is. We must understand that we can't really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with our heart until we have an understanding of who he is. Now, we can come to him and not have all the knowledge. But in order for us to be preserved and redeemed and born again, we must have a revelation. And only God can give that to us, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches are full of people today that's never been born again. Churches are full of people today that says, I'm fine. Me and Jesus have our own thing going. Now, you might like that song, but I don't like that song. Me and Jesus have our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us all what it's all about. Yes, you do. You need the Bible to tell you what it's all about. You need the Spirit of God to tell you what it's all about. And if you like that song, God bless your heart, you're just going to have to burp yourself and get over it. Amen? I'm preaching better than you're responding right now. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is not a head knowledge, it's a heart. And we must confess with our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died, he rose again from the grave, he liveth forever. We must confess that according to Romans 10, 9 and 10. And so, it brings me to a message that I preached years ago. In fact, I experienced this message in Acts chapter 8, the eunuch. When you believe with all your heart, you may proceed. But you cannot proceed until you believe with all your heart. When you believe with all your heart, you're ready to proceed. Here in Ozark, I grew up in Ozark. I remember when 65 and 14 was a four-way stop. I remember when 14 Highway went under 65, and now 65, how's that work? Goes over. 14 goes over 65. I remember when it was backwards. And one day I was driving, I had about a quarter tank of gas, and I was driving, I seen this guy, he was homeless, he was under the bridge. And the Lord told me, he said, stop, pick him up, and take him wherever he needs to go. I stopped, picked him up. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to... what's that place where David Wilkerson had Teen Challenge? He said, I'm going to Teen Challenge. He said, my life is a mess, and I'm going to go down to a place in Teen Challenge somewhere down below Arkansas, down south. They'd had a camp there. He said, I'm going because I am overcome with liquor. My life is destroyed. He said, I'm going there to get free. And I remember preaching to him about eunuch, Philip and the eunuch. I preached to him about how the eunuch was headed back from Jerusalem still with an empty heart, needed to hear who the Lamb was, that Jesus is the Lamb. I didn't know that he wanted to go so far. He wanted to go on the other side of Lake Tanikomo. And I preached Jesus to him all the way down there. And when we got to the Lake Tanikomo, he said, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? I didn't know that you weren't supposed to baptize or swim in Lake Taneycomo. And I didn't know it was so stinking cold. I'd preach to him. The eunuch says in Acts chapter 8 that as they're approaching, they're traveling across the wilderness, they come upon a pool of water. The Bible says that Philip in verse 35 of Acts chapter 8 opened his mouth and began to, at that same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water," verse 36. "What doeth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now you must connect that to the eunuch reading from the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53. The eunuch had an understanding. Philip shared with the eunuch that this lamb that's led to the slaughter, this lamb that's going to die, is Jesus Christ. And I spoke to this young man about the power of Jesus Christ, about the goodness of Jesus Christ. And we came to Lake Taneycomo. At first, I didn't think I had enough gas to get down there. I was praying. In fact, I was on fumes by the time I got home. And so I pulled the car over. We went down to the lower part, Lake Taneycomo. We waited out. It was high. The water was high. And I baptized him right there in Lake Taneycomo. He came up shouting, "I'm saved! I'm saved!" I said, "Buddy, you were saved before you ever got in the water." He said, "Really?" I said, "Really. Baptism is just now you can proceed. Now you can proceed." Some folks never proceed on with church attendance because they've never been born again. Some people do not proceed on with water baptism because they've not been born again. Some people do not continue on their walk with God because they have a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. But when you have a heart that's a throbbing with the love of God, and you have a heart that's hungry to live for God, you're going to want to please God, and you're going to want to be around God's people. And you can say what you want to about the church, but I'm here to tell you, Christ Jesus bought the church with his own blood. You can do anything, you can say anything you want to say, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the eternal, pre-existing, sovereign God who came to earth to build a church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that church is made up of some of you in this room right now. Woo! Come on! Three years later, I received a phone call from that young man's mother. She said, "You don't know me, but you picked up my son and you preached the devil out of him all the way down to Branson, Forsyth. And you baptized him in Lake Taneycomo." I said, "Yes, I did." I said, "How'd it go at Teen Challenge?" She said, "He didn't go to Teen Challenge. His life was set free immediately when you prayed with him and you gave your message on Christ and he prayed and called out to Jesus for forgiveness." She said, "My son was instantly delivered. He didn't need to go to any place to be delivered. He walked out of that place and he never went to Teen Challenge. Nothing wrong with Teen Challenge, but he didn't have to go. And today," she said to me over the phone, "today my son is a pastor of a church in Arkansas." You see, water baptism. Remember when Philip said to the eunuch said, "Here's water. What hinders me to be baptized?" The thing that the eunuch said, the thing that Philip said to the eunuch was this: you may, if you believe with all your heart. And basically what Philip was saying to the eunuch, if you believe with all your heart, you can proceed. When that young man believed with all his heart, he proceeded into Lake Tanikomo. That didn't save him. It probably woke him up because it was cold. But that day I caught the biggest trout in my life. That young man gave his heart to Jesus Christ. You see, he knew of Jesus in his head, but he didn't have Jesus in his heart. Are you listening to me? And the church is full of people that do not have Jesus in their heart. Oh, they say, well, just trust Jesus. Please hear me. Please hear me. Please, please, please hear me. Don't tell your lost loved ones, well, just believe in Jesus. Explain to them that the devil believes and trembles. Explain to them that there has to be a miracle in their life. Jesus Christ must redeem them. God the Father must draw them. They must be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They must believe that Jesus died for their sins, rose again from the grave, that Jesus is the eternal sovereign God of the universe. They must believe that Jesus died for their wicked sins, that he was crucified for their sins. They must turn from their sins and turn to Jesus Christ. And when they turn from their sins, someone says, what does repentance mean? Repentance means grieving away from sin. That's what repentance is, grieving away from sin. So you got Bible for that? Yeah. In Genesis, remember Noah? And God says it grieved God in his heart. But what it said is it repented the Lord that he had ever made man. What God said before the flood. He repented that he had ever made man. Does that mean God needed to repent? No. It goes on to explain that he was grieved in his heart. You can be sick in your head, but until you get grieved in your heart about your sin, you're never going to be delivered. Amen? And so the first mention, the Bible teaching of first mention in the Bible, the law of first mention. The first mention is repentance. God repented that it ever made man. God didn't have to repent. It meant that he grieved about it. He was grieved over it. And the best illustration I have of repentance is it is a grieving away from sin. It is a grieving away from a bad life. It is a grieving away from habits, from addiction. It is grieving away to the hands of Jesus Christ. When I got saved, I grieved away from my sin into the hands of Jesus Christ. And after you get born again and you're a child of God and you do something wrong, what do? You grieve back into the hands of Jesus Christ. That's the nature of a child of God. When they do wrong, they grieve back into the hands of Jesus Christ because the grieving is the act of repentance. You're grieving back to Jesus. You're changing your mind. You're turning back. You're grieving back to Jesus Christ. So let me say tonight, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. But there is a process. And that process is being changed. I get very, very concerned about people that put their trust in salvation because they were christened as a baby or baptized as a baby. Trust me, your babies need more than a bath. Trust me, your babies need more than a baptism. They need to be changed. I had a lady call me one time. She said, I got a 2-year-old. I want you to baptize him. I said, I am not going to baptize that 2-year-old. She said, well, he's a smart kid. He understands. Will you baptize him? I said, well, I will if he can answer the following questions. Has he repented of his sins? Has he turned to Jesus Christ? Does he know the Son of God? Has he turned from his wickedness? A 2-year-old wickedness. But anyway, you know. She said, well, no, he don't understand that. And I said, he doesn't need to be baptized. Amen? I remember one time I baptized a Church of Christ guy. He came to Christ. He gave his heart to the Lord. He was born again in Carson Valley. The snow-capped waters would come down off the Lake Tahoe Mountains and come down into the Carson River, and it was cold. And this little Church of Christ brother that gave his heart to Jesus, he said, I want to be baptized. And he said, I want to be baptized good. See, that's his Church of Christ background. I want to be baptized good. And I said, well, you repented and you've asked the Lord? He said, yeah, but he said, I want to be baptized good. And so I took him out in Carson River. And he was a little taller than I expected. When I went to baptize him, I put my hand this way to take him down. And when I did, my foot hit a slick rock. I dived over the top of him, full suited. Landed on his chest. He's under the water. I'm trying my best to get off of him. And he comes up out of that water, spitting water, shouting, you did it. You did it good. I was baptized good. He didn't know that I was that close to killing him. But anyway. It's important that we understand that water baptism is where we proceed on. The reason people don't proceed on, they don't believe on Jesus with their heart. They believe on him with their head. They shake the preacher's hand. They turn a leaf, new leaf. They decide they want to live for God. And the reason they don't continue on is because they're not ready to proceed. You can't proceed on with Jesus Christ until you have a connect in your heart with him. You can't proceed on in the work of God. And the reason people don't proceed on is because they've never had a conversion in their heart. What does it mean to believe on Jesus? It means to believe on him with your heart. It means to give your life totally and completely to him. I love my wife with my heart. And because I love my wife with my heart, I would die for her. Because I love my wife with my heart, I want to live with her forever. And if you believe in Jesus with your heart, you're going to want to be with him. You're going to want to live with him forever. You're going to want to honor him. Amen. You're going to want to just give him praise and honor and glory. What does it mean to believe on Jesus? It means a change of life. It means a new creature in Christ. It means believing in your heart. It means confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God is raising from the dead. It means to believe that Jesus is exactly who he says he is and he did exactly what he did. He died for our sins. He rose again from the grave. And one day he's coming back. That's what it means. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ means nothing matters more than him. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ means a change in lifestyle. It means an honor to God. It means giving your all to Christ. And so when someone... Don't tell someone, just believe in Jesus. Next time someone asks about what to do to be saved, you take this book and show them. Pray with them. Pray with them. Show them this book. Give them the Word of God. And tell them that Jesus Christ is their only way off this planet alive. Hey, I'm going to get off this planet alive. How about you? Woo, I'm going someplace. Amen. I had a guy out in Nevada. He was 96. I believe he was 96 when he died. His name was Dossie. We all called him Brother Dossie. 96, same place where I baptized the Little Church of Christ brother that got saved. When Dossie was 16, the doctors told him he had terminal cancer and that he was going to die before he seen his 17th birthday. I said, well, Brother Dossie, obviously you didn't die. You're 90 at the time I was talking to him. He's 93. I think he died at 96. And he said, no. He said, I just refuse to die. He says, I've been fighting cancer for 80-something years. And he said, I have refused to die every day. Just refused to die. I said, do you have cancer? He said, no, I've got it. I'm telling it what to do. I tell it to get off my back. Tell it I'm going to serve God. Well, Dossie got bad on the side. The cancer got to the side. And he told the doctor, he said, I want to be baptized. He said, I've been baptized, but I want to be baptized again. And so he got hold of the doctor. The doctor said, you can baptize him again if you wrap him. Now get this, wrap him with cellophane all the way around his chest, all the way down to his waist. Wrap him with cellophane so the water can't get in. He said, I want to be baptized. And I said, okay. I got a hold of the Southern Baptist Church, asked him if I could use their baptistry. He said, my three daughters are going to come and watch me be baptized. He said, they've been raised Catholic all their life. But he said, they're going to come and watch me be baptized. And I took Brother Dossie into the baptistry, 96 years old. And I started telling Brother Dossie how wonderful Jesus is and how God had changed his life. And I noticed the three girls had brought towels with them. And I said, way too many for just Brother Dossie. Them three women decided they were going to be baptized. Problem. Those three women are not saved. And so I tell Brother Dustin, I'm going to pray with you. I prayed a sinner's prayer. And finally, after baptizing Dossie, he's singing, he's praising God. His daughter says, I want to be baptized. I said, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And she said, yes, I have. I said, when did you do it? She said, just a moment ago. And she walked into the baptistry, just tears just pouring. She said, I'm putting my trust in Jesus. I repent of my sin. I know that I need Christ. And I baptized her. And the other sister looked up and said, me too. I said, you been saved? She said, yes. I got saved while I was listening to my sister. You were praying for her. I want to be saved too. And I prayed with her and baptized her. And the third one came along. She said, I'm not going to be left out of this. I'm going to heaven. She said, I'm going to repent of my sins. She said, you want me to confess them to you now? I said, no. I'm not John the Baptist. Did you know John the Baptist, when he baptized people in Jordan, they actually confessed their sins to John? They confessed them out loud. Aren't you glad we don't do that today? And I baptized her. That day, Brother Dossie was already saved. He got baptized, and his three daughters were swept into the kingdom of God. That's our God. That's our God. I could go on stories that I've seen over the years. I've seen one family completely come to Christ, just praying for the dad. And we just went right down the line, and the whole family was give their heart to Christ right there in their house, one at a time. But it's a heart thing. It's not a head thing. It's real. It's powerful. It's sovereign. And next time someone tells you that you've got to be water baptized to be born again, to be saved, you tell them, no, you got to be born again so you can proceed to the river. You can proceed to worshiping. You can proceed to honoring God in the church. You can proceed to following Jesus Christ once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. I hope I've helped some of you tonight. I hope I've helped you in your thinking that Jesus Christ is truly a miraculous miracle that all of us have to enjoy, all of us have to experience to go to heaven. I've had that. I've had that. So my question to you tonight is this. Do you know you're going to heaven? Don't tell me that you believe in Jesus. Do you believe in your heart? Will you put anything that's in your life aside to follow Jesus? If you're not ready to follow Jesus and leave your nets behind, leave everything behind, then you haven't had that sovereign change in your life. So my question tonight is, have you truly believed in your heart on Jesus Christ? Because no one's going to go to heaven head first. They're all going to heaven heart first. Hear me? And your heart is what determines your life. And God wants to live in your heart. Stand with me. Josh is going to come and bring a song. I hope you enjoyed tonight. I told my people this morning, we had one saved in a big crowd this morning, full house pretty much. And I told the folks this morning after I preached, I usually preach verse by verse through books in the Bible. I'm in Matthew right now. And I told them I was going to preach an evangelistic sermon. Well, you just heard one. And my question to you tonight, have you been saved? Have you truly been changed? Have you truly had your life forgiven? If you don't know that today, I want to invite you to come down here to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you with my heart. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe you rose again from the grave. I believe that you're the only way to heaven. I believe that you are my Savior. And I want to give my life completely to you tonight. Whether you're old or young, it doesn't matter. You have to be saved. So we're going to give an invite right now. Josh plays and sings. We want to encourage you to come down here and ask the Lord. I want to know when I leave this place that I'm saved and I'm a child of God. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. We were at the First Baptist Church in Galena last Tuesday. We had a husband and wife come and give their heart to Jesus Christ. Their life was changed. We're helping a little church out down there in Galena, a little Baptist church. I'm here to tell you, you're not coming to a man, you're not coming to an altar, you're not coming to a church, you're coming to a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.